So we're going to pick it up today on the fourth reading. As Tommy says, it's a new story every day. Chapter 8, verse 15, the fourth reading of Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Noach. Let me just bring you up to date. The storm-tossed ark ends up in Mount Ararat. I mentioned this yesterday briefly. And it's landed. We are. It's the second month. We're going to say it's Cheshvan. And it's the 27th day of Cheshvan. The ark is landed. Vayidaber Elokim al Noach. God speaks to Noach Leimer. Tzei min hateva. Exit. Leave the ark. Ata, you. The ishtecha, your wives. Your wife, pardon. Uvanecha, your sons. Uneshevanecha, and your wife's spouses, your wife's sons. Itach, they should all leave the teva with you. This is a very funny verse.
You think they'd be jumping out of there?
First of all, you think they'd be jumping out of there. Secondly, it says, Ata, you, ve'ishtecha. What, did you think he was going to leave his wife in the ark? He would really leave his wife there. And then if he was taking his wife with him, for sure he was going to leave his kids there.
For sure.
For sure. But if he'd take his boys with him, he would at least leave their wives behind. Right? Mm-hmm. Wrong. Why would he do that? That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Why would he leave his wife and children in the... It doesn't make any sense. Why does the Torah have to say this? So really we have two questions. Number one, why do you have to be told to leave the ark? Number two, why all the details? Ata, v'ishtecha. So Rashi says that the details here, ata, v'ishtecha, is just like when they went into the ark. They were enumerated. Boyel ateva, who should come into the ark? You should come into the ark. Your wife should come to the ark. Your children should come. Their wife should come. And we know that when they went into the ark, intimacy was prohibited. So they didn't live as couples. They had a dormitory. It was the boys' room and the girls' room. And that's how they lived for the entire year on the ark. However, now, ish ve'ishtei, the Torah mentions man and wife, kan, at this point, as they're leaving the teva, ve'hite lehem tash b'sham mitei. So from this point and onward, you can resume conjugal relations. All right. So you're telling me that the reason that it has to say ata, ve'ishtecha, uvanecha, uneshevanecha, you and your wife, that you can get it back together. And your sons and their wives, they should, like, all of that was really necessary.
Why was intimacy prohibited during the year?
Why was intimacy prohibited? The simple reason is, at a time when there is mass genocide, is not a time to pleasure oneself. One has to be in touch with what's going on around them. Now, Rabbeinu B'chaya has a very unique approach to this whole thing. He says that Noach was a very frum guy. He's very like, you know, he wasn't very influential. He wasn't very effective, but he was very frum. He did everything exactly as he was told. So Noach knew that he was told to go onto the boat. Okay, if he's told to go onto the teva, he doesn't go off the teva until he's told to go off to the teva. He's doing anything by himself. Whatever Hashem will say. Hashem says on, is on. Hashem says off, is off. So therefore, that's why Noach refused to remain on the teva. Now this gets even stranger. Not only is Noach unwilling, or reticent at least, to leave the ark, the teva, until he's actually kind of pushed out the door. Not only that, but furthermore, the Torah continues, Kol hachaya, all the animals, asher itcha, which are with you, mikol basa, from all flesh, ba'if, uva behema, be they fowl, or beast, animal, b'chol haremes, haremes al haaretz, any reptile who crawls on the ground, hayitzei itach, take him out with you, v'shartzu va'aretz, they will team upon the earth, ufaru v'rovu, and they will multiply, be fruitful and multiply al haaretz on the earth. So if Noach was not going to take the animals out, they were just going to sit right there? They're just going to stay cooped up?
Seems so.
Really? First of all, you should know that the word Hayetze is spelled Hoitze with a Vav. And Rashi says, Hoitze Ksiv, it's written Hoitze, but you should know Hayetze Kri. It should be read Hayetze. What does Hayetze mean? Hayetze means, doesn't mean Hashem didn't speak to the animals and say to them, okay, donkey, Tzei Minateva, go out of the ark. Camel, Tzei Minateva. No, he talked to Noach, he didn't talk to the animals. So what did he tell Noach? He told him Hayetze, which means Emer Lohem Sheyetzu. Tell him, come on guys, out! You tell him. Hoitze means, like, take them out. Im Einam Reitzim Latzes, if they won't want to leave, Hoitzeim Ata, you make them leave, you take them out. Very strange. Very strange. Noach has to be told to leave. And he has to be told to leave. His wife has to be told to leave. And his children have to be told to leave. And their children. And then you have to tell the animals to leave? But why would you have to do that? So Radak says, Noach had a job. It's very firm. There's a job. His job is to bring them on to the teva. Okay. Bring them on. His job is to bring them off now. The Hamakdavar suggests that the reason is, he says that make sure the animals go off peacefully. They don't fall over each other. It's not a stampede. And if there was a stampede, Noach would still stop it. And you try to picture this menagerie of animals breaking out of their cages, of their little tiny cubicles where they've been cooped up for a year, and Noach's going to stop it? He couldn't even deal with one crazy lion we learned yesterday. How's he going to stop a whole stampede? The whole thing is so strange. They also notice in this pasuk that everything is redundant. It says they'll go out, take them out. Veshar tzubaretz, they'll teem upon the earth. Ufaru uravu, and they'll be fruitful and they'll multiply. So Ramban says they should be allowed to roam free, and you'll see once they're roaming free, they'll already be fruitful and multiply. They'll already procreate. Whereas the Targum says that paru uravu kishratzim. He says the emphasis is like shnatzim means like teeming animals. Animals that multiply at a great pace. So you send them out, they'll start to multiply very quickly.
There must have been miraculous vegetation too, because all vegetation was destroyed. Were these animals?
Well, everything is miraculous ultimately, right?
No, but I'm saying.
The whole story is kind of miraculous.
Because all vegetation is destroyed all of a sudden.
All vegetation is destroyed, with the exception that seems some olive trees in Israel that's stuck around.
But then Hashem restores it. He must have.
Slowly but surely. The Malbim wants to say that the Shartzu refers to reptiles to reproduce with eggs, or dropping eggs. And Paruvaravu is like mammals who give birth in what we consider normative birth, birth as we know it. Mm-hmm. And anyway, any which way you want to put it, the bottom line is, that's what happened. Vayetze, so after telling us that Noach had to take them out of the Teva, which we don't really understand to begin with, after all this, the next thing we hear is, he did it. The Torah says, Vayetze Noach. Noach went out. But don't you think he went out? Uvanov. And his children went out. Ve'ishtei. And his wife went out. I mean, it's really good the Torah is telling us, because otherwise, I mean, his wife would still be there in the teva.
waiting
for him to go out. You know, that Facebook meme of the skeleton sitting on the bench waiting for my kids to pick up their socks on the floor.
Yeah. Don't hold your breath.
Right. Unishei vanov. And Ita, they went with him. Really? They have to tell, this is to be told to us that they went out. And then it says, Kol Achaya. It's like the whole thing's redundant. All the animals. Kol Aremes, all the reptiles. Kol Aif, all the birds. Kol Aremes al Aretz, whatever crawls on the ground. If Vayez me, you just said Aremes, and they said Aremes al Aretz again. Limish Bechaysam. Oh, now they have families too. What does that mean? Yotzum and Ateva, they all go out of the Teva. So Rashi says, what does it mean, Limish Bechaysam? It doesn't seem to make any sense. First of all, we skipped the Rashi. Vishartsu Va'aretz, V'lei B'teva. Vishartsu, when will they team? When will they multiply? Ba'aretz, but not in the Teva. Why? Because Kiblu Aleihem, Magid, this teaches us, Sha'afa Behema Va'oif, Nesu B'tashmesh, that even animals did not experience intimacy. The Teva was not the love boat. It was not a happy place. Nobody was really happy. Everybody was cooped up. Noach worked to the point that he was coughing blood. Everybody was plotting. They're cooped up. This is a terrible place.
The stench in there?
The stench. And strangely enough, Noach has to be told to go out. And his wife should be told to go out. And his children. And their wives. And then you have to tell the animals. And tell. Can you really?
I guess so.
Could you really get used to anything? I mean, the door is open. Why would we leave? Why would you stay? The Torah has to spend so much time on this. And then it says, Mikol ha-mishpachaysam. What does it mean, l'mishpachaysam? Animal families? So Rashi says, kiblu aleihem amanasli davik minim. That the animals accepted upon themselves, they would no longer crossbreed. Because before the teva, when people did all kinds of licentious things, the animals started behaving also off the rails. It's like really funny stuff. So first of all, why does it say the men went off first? Before it said Noach v'ishtei, uvanav v'ishtei. Here it says, Noach goes first, and his sons. So the Chizkuni says, the men's dormitory emptied first, the woman's dormitory. First the guys went out, then the woman went out. That's just practically, that's what happened. Radak says something very interesting. He gives us like a little maybe insight. He says the women were actually afraid to leave the teva. The ark was like an anchor of security. They were afraid to wander out into the wild blue yonder. It wasn't so wild. It wasn't so wild. It wasn't so blue. It was a very scary world. It's like a world after like a nuclear devastation. They were actually afraid to go out. It's an interesting thought, and let's hold on to it. You want to say it's the same as a desert. But the desert, life was idyllic. It was wonderful. The clothes grew with you. Lord and Taylor, it's no problem. Hashem provided everybody with clothes.
But it was a comfort.
And everybody had food. And it was comfortable. The temperature wasn't too bad. How could you compare that to a cooped up, narrow little teva that's filled with all kinds of animals?
How come out of Mitzrayim too? They didn't want to go.
Out of Mitzrayim was a scary thing to leave Mitzrayim. Scary.
Scary thing to leave the ark. Go into.
Okay, maybe. This is a possible resolution to the problem. Yeah. That they were terrified. Everybody was terrified to leave.
There was a sense of security.
There was a sense of security. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the Rivas says a similar thing. He says, Yatsu Mechadrim. They all went out of their individual quarters. Hazcharim Becheder Echad. Very similar to what you heard earlier in the name of the Sepharno. It was the male quarters, female quarters. So that's how everybody exited. And they all left. Why does it say kol achaya, kol haremes, and then it says kol haroimes? It says all the animals, all the reptiles, and all the things that creep on the floor, on the ground. So the Radak says, here's the first of all the rule: kol achaya, all the animals. That's called the klal, generality. And then afterwards, it gets into the details: kol achaya, kol haremes, kol ha'if, going to animals and birds. And after that, the Torah comes back. It includes kol haremes, everything. So there's a klal and a prat and a klal. There's a general rule, details. All right, fine. Now, Ibn Ezra suggests that l'mishpachay sehem means that it's possible that some of the animals, even though they weren't intimate, they could have arrived pregnant. So they gave birth. So more animals left than came. But what we do see is something amazing. No animals died. There's a fascinating manuscript from the Rebbe, one of those manuscripts discovered after Gimel Talmud. Well, the Rebbe asks that there are certain animals that only live for 3 months. The Gemara says animals live for 30 days. How did those species proliferate? How did they survive? So the Rebbe suggests that it says Leshim Shoham Azolus, that the heavenly bodies stopped their orbit. It wasn't just a flood on earth. The entire universe kind of ground to a halt. And the reality is that when the heavenly bodies orbit, that's what causes the passage of time, or the effects of the passage of time. And that's why it says in the beginning of creation, Hamazolus Holchu B'Mehidus, that the orbit was a tremendous speed. And because it was a tremendous speed, the effect of time was also instantaneous. It says that a child would be able to cut his own umbilical cord. In other words, he would grow up in minutes, not months. In minutes, he would be crawling already. So if that's how it was in the beginning of creation, that the mazalas halchu b'mehiris, that the orbits moved with tremendous velocity, and that caused a quicker passage of time. So if the orbits were impeded, they simply ground to a halt. That also would cause the opposite effect. So the animals that usually would have died, they didn't die. So I guess they came off the boat. Nobody was a year older. Time stood still for them. They didn't age. No new wrinkles. Noach, poor Noach, was something else. He aged because of all the stress. But there was not natural aging. There was no oil of Olay necessary when you came off the ark. They didn't bathe for a year, remember. This was not a fun place to be. The people didn't bathe for a year. There was no sewage. No running toilets. So where did all that stuff go? Oh, and the bottom. That's what we learned. It was three floors. So the bottom floor, that's where the refuse was.
They must have shelled it out, the boat. Or something.
They must have shelled it out. They couldn't now open the boat. It was raining.
Open it?
No, the refuse went on the bottom floor. So heat rises and stench rises. The bottom floor is filled with refuse. All the leftovers. The defecation of people and thousands of animals. You have an idea what that place stank like? It just stank like hell. I mean, it's a horrible place. And this is where they didn't want to leave? You're cooped up, holed up in this terrible situation. It's a survival barge, you know, just surviving. This was not a luxury liner. So we don't understand. There's a whole business here. Told to leave. Everybody's got to be told to leave. All right. So the Rebbe gives us a gewaltige resolution to this problem. It's not just about fear. And anyway, why would the Torah have to communicate that in so many words and so many verses and emphasis? You and your wife and your children and their wives and their children. All the animals, all kinds of animals. The whole thing is so, it's so weird. Go to page Kuflamet Beis. Simen Yud Ches. So the Rebbe asks our question. Yesh L'tmoya. This is really quite astonishing. Madua chika noyach letzivim afurish al hayitziya me'ateva. Why did he have to wait for an explicit command? Now leave. Lo yatzam atzmei. Why in heaven wouldn't he just leave? This is the most intuitive and natural thing to do. Afilu im noyach atzmei zaka koya letzivoy. And even if one follows the approach of Rabbeinu Bechaya, that Noach was super fruit. And therefore, he was told by Hashem to go on. Whatever God says go on, he follows the instructions. God didn't say go off, then he doesn't go off. Even if you're going to say that about Noach, which is what Rabbeinu Bechaya says, or even Adak, so that's why they didn't go by themselves. Why did you need a tzivui miyuchad, a special commandment, gam b'nigei l'balei chayim? People have mitzvahs, I understand. Noach wants to be frum. Okay. He doesn't want to leave without Hashem telling him. But the animals kind of came by themselves. They came by themselves, the door would open, and the animals would run out. Noach and his family would hide during the stampede, come out an hour later. So you would have thought. We have to have a special commandment to the point that Rashi tells us Noach had to actually do something to get the animals to leave. That im einam reitzim latzai seitzia isim, they don't want to go out. You make him go out. You tell him to go out. You push him out the door. Why? The Yeshleimer. So the Rebbe says, Matzino we find, and this is in Pirush HaRadak, on his commentary in our parsha. The Radak says, B'tevas Noach, in the great ark, Hiskayim Matzev Doiva, L'zeh She'yil Asid Lavi. There was circumstances, a situation of serenity, futuristic serenity. That, like it says in the verses of Yeshayahu, where he describes the messianic reality, Vagar ze'ev im keves. The wolf will lie with the lamb. You're very comfortable. No problem. Le'yareu, le'yashchisu. That violent behavior that naturally comes in predatory animals will be neutered. They're not going to be wild. That's what Mashiach's going to be like.
Just like that on the,
So Radak says that's how it was in the Teva. Yeah. That's how it was.
Just a little smellier.
Not a little. Very super smelly. But it was very peaceful. I call it the stench of serenity. There was a stench of serenity, and it stank, and it was terrible, but it was peaceful. Afal pisha kola behemis v'achayas ha'yu b'yachad. Even though all animals, all beasts, everybody was together. Im zeis le'asura zel zeklal. Nobody did anything bad to each other. Nowhere does it say that Noach kept everybody behind bars. This was not your typical zoo. was a dormitory. Probably long hallways and little cubicles. So long hallways and little cubicles. Doesn't even say there was doors, actually. For all we know, there were just cubicles. Everybody had their own space. And never once did the lion decide to visit the zebra next door or the antelope. I mean, Noach came late for lunch. Or he didn't just go next door and eat lunch himself.
He wasn't invited.
So instead, he beat up Noach. He smacked Noach around. It doesn't make any sense. If you're angry, go do what you do. Just go down the hall. Lunch is waiting for you. But that didn't happen. And the truth is, what the Radak says is it's muchach. It must be so. Because otherwise, the whole table reality couldn't have made sense. And this is exactly the point. Rebbe says, Noach did not want to be the one to, quote unquote, disturb the peace. Once you pull that trigger, it's finished. Till Mashiach comes. For thousands of years now, there's not going to be peace again. This is the most peaceful moment ever. All the bad people, all the bad animals, everything is dead. The only thing that's alive is good. And everybody's at peace. It's got a stench, yeah, but it's a serene stench.
It's like the Meraglia.
Like the Meraglia, but a little different. But this is nothing wrong. It doesn't say Noach did something wrong here. That's what I say. Noach felt, who am I to disturb this reality? Hashem created this beautiful, peaceful, idyllic situation. I'm going to be the one to disturb it? I'm going to be the one to unleash chaos? Who gives me the right to do that? How could I do that? It's not like the Meraglim. He didn't do it. Somebody was told by Hashem, and he said, well, God, you know, maybe they shouldn't leave the Teva. Maybe we should just stay here, and that's all. That would be like the Meraglim. I can't do this myself. I can't take this on my shoulders. I need to be commanded. This something like this you need to have explicit instructions for. Without explicit instructions, I can't do it. When I'll be told, say menateva, that's why I know I should do this. And therefore Hashem is very specific. Say menateva. Yes, your wife should leave. Yes, your children. Yes, their wife should leave. All the animals. The animals themselves are going to turn back into wilde chayes. And the animals have some kind of consciousness, you see, because they didn't crossbreed. And these animals, it says, accepted upon this was not to crossbreed. So they have no consciousness. They don't have full consciousness that we have. There's some kind of consciousness. The lion, he didn't know himself. He like couldn't get over himself. He was so peaceful. He was so friendly. He was frolicking. He knew the moment he gets off that teva, he becomes an animal again. Maybe he was enjoying being a little lamb. He liked being nice. Tivon, hishtana lo teva b'teva. All their nature turned into this wonderful, nice, docile nature. We're not going out there. You want me to go out there and turn into an animal again? I don't want to be a wilde chaya. I don't want to be a ferocious animal. You want to turn? You want me to turn back into this morating, killing machine? I don't want to do that. Noach had to come and he said, guys, this is not the way the Eibishter wants it. Yeah, that bad nature, that nature, that's your nature. Just be who you are. Assume the mantle of your nature and run with it. And he had to actually push everybody off the table. And that's why there had to be a tzivui noisef, an additional command, not only for the people, but even for the animals. And only afterwards, this additional command, then and only then, were we able to have a noach who would actually leave the teva, animals who would leave the teva, and a world that would revert back to not its original being, because originally it was a very sinful place, but at least it revert back to its original natural habitat. And now it makes a heck of a lot of sense.